let's get this party
started. Whoa, stop. Hold on. Okay, I think I know what's going on here. That's not my theme music. But yes, boys and girls, I have recently been on Tinsel Tunes. I know, it's the talk of the town. Yes, I'm a big celeb now that I've made it on Tinsel Tunes. But no, I can't be playing their theme music. This is my show. That was their show. Theirs is better than mine, but mine's got some pretty decent theme music. Let's have a listen to it now. Run the theme music.
What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this?
Well, it's just seeing a trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 2 on the sharp range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to the Total Christmas Podcast. I'm your host, Jack. Do you want to do the interactive bit? We should really, shouldn't we? We'll make it quick. How are you? Yeah, good. Right, so I don't think I've got anything to cover. Actually, this is wrong. I've got loads of stuff to cover, but I've been away with the family, so I've sort of let things slide a bit. So if I'm not responding to your email, you're going to have to forgive me. If I have responded to your email, you might have to forgive me for that as well, because I'm pretty rude. Not on purpose. I just have no self-censorship. Anyway, I'm going to get started with this. Here it comes. So when I'm researching my Christmas customs from around the world, there's one or two that always keep cropping up, and this was one of them. But the problem I found is there's not a massive amount of information about it, and all the articles I read seem to come from the same source. Now, I'm not sure what source that is. It could be like tomato ketchup, it could be like a hot sauce, it could be McDonald's secret sauce. I'm not 100% sure. I mean, it could actually be spelt completely differently to that kind of sauce. I don't know, but I know it's a delicious sauce. So I'm just going to give you what I can. It's going to be a short one, but it's going to be an interesting one. And this one is the custom in Venezuela of roller skating to church. Yeah, that's right. Their morning mass service, they'll roller skate to church. In Venezuela, the lead up to Christmas is called Misa el Aguinaldo, which apparently means Christmas box. Don't know why. Anyway, the deal is this. Well, I just told you, that's pretty much it actually. They roller skate the church. No one really seems to know the reason. I came up with two possible reasons why people do this. It's so popular that they'll actually close the streets until 8 a.m. because it's the first morning mass, so people have got time to go to... That's early, isn't it? That's early to be roller skating around 8 a.m. in the morning. Anyway, they close the streets till 8 a.m. and then obviously people need to get to work. But if you want to go to early morning mass, that's the time to do it, on your roller skates. Now, these are the two reasons it may have started. The first one is because they don't get any snow in Venezuela that time of year. So instead of like tobogganing or skiing, which everyone else in every other northern hemisphere country does, I know I do for a fact, that's how I get to church on Christmas Day, is on my skis. That's not true, kids. I don't. We hardly ever have snow at Christmas in the UK. Yeah, so that's one. It's like a replacement for skiing, so you can go to roller skate. The other one, which I kind of like, it doesn't date back that far. Obviously, it only dates back as far as roller skates. I'm not sure when roller skates were invented. I'm just going to check. Hold on. Do you know what? They were first invented in the 1700s, but then they got popular in the 1800s. But from what I could gather, this has only been going back since the 1950s. And the reason I read was because the children can enjoy their presents on Christmas Eve when they get them. I suppose they wake up, get some roller skates, chuck them on and skate to church. I don't know. I don't know. But there's another part to this tradition, right, where children go to bed at night with a piece of string tied to their toe, and they hang it out the window. Yeah, and the deal is that the people going to church are skating along fast as they can, And they see the string, give it a tug, wakes up the little kid. Kid gets up, puts his skates on, he comes and skates to church. And I'll tell you something, it's going to be pretty painful skating to church in roller skates when one of your toes has just been yanked off. Yeah. This is the great thing though, they also have another tradition. Whoever turns up at morning mass with the most toes that they've yanked off some poor kid gets a biscuit. Yeah. Or a cookie, you might call it. Yeah, I just made that last bit up. Because I'm not sure if I believe that tradition. I've read it in so many places, though. Like I said, it all comes from the same source. Maybe it happens. Maybe kids are sleeping in bed. You'd have to tug pretty gently, though, wouldn't you? Like yanking some kid. Your roller skating down the street, grabbing some bits of string. You've got 20 kids being dragged along by their toes behind you. Someone's going to lose a toe. It's all fun and games until someone loses a toe. Yeah, that's pretty much it, really. At the height of its popularity, there'd be like street stalls with people selling food early in the morning. There'd be like a real sort of festive atmosphere. It sounds like it died out a bit, but it also sounds like it's having a bit of a resurgence because so many places on the internet are talking about it. And they're like, oh yeah, maybe we should do that. From what I could read, like the capital, Caracas, is the main centre for this, where they definitely close the streets, and also like other big cities might close their streets. But yeah, that's it. That's the thing. I talked about it. It happened. Now you know. If you live in Venezuela, you can roller skate to church. If you don't live in Venezuela, you can still roller skate to church. That's the beauty of roller skates. Now let's do this.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
It is common knowledge that when we drink, we get drunk. When we get drunk, we fall asleep. When we fall asleep, we commit no sin. And when we commit no sin, we go to heaven. So, come to the tiki bar, let's all get drunk, and we'll all go to heaven. So, festive question season is upon us. You know, is it four calling or four collie birds? Is it a white elephant or a Yankee swap? Or the most contested, is Die Hard a Christmas movie or not? Yep, it's the annual celebration of the eternal Die Hard dilemma. And yet, deep down, we all know that it is a Christmas movie. But what I find more troubling is why we don't have the same question for its sequel, Die Hard 2 or Die Harder. Is it because there is a snowstorm, which looks more Christmassy? Is it because it has more Christmas feels, with the McLeans being happily married? Or is it just because it has an airport in it, like so many other Christmas films? To me, the real "do you hear what I hear" question is why an American pilot would say, "I've got 230 people up here flying on petrol fumes," like he does in this film. Petrol? What is this? England? Yes, petrol is the word in the UK used to describe fuel. I know what you're thinking. Why don't they just call it gas like we do in the States? Well, a Brit will tell you it's because it's not. They point out that the physical state of fuel is not a gas. It's a liquid. The word petrol is derived from petroleum, which comes from the Latin words petra, rock, and oleum, oil. So, rock oil. Petrol was first used as a product name in England in 1870 for a solvent and a cure for head lice. It was a petroleum product, and it was later found to have a much better use. Thus, petrol became the common word used for motor fuel in Britain. Now, if you can believe it, the American word gasoline also came from the UK. In the late 1800s, a man named John Castle struck oil and began marketing it in England as lamp fuel, and he called it Castleine oil. When Castle found out that a Dublin competitor was selling counterfeit Castleine oil, he sued him, and so the C was changed to a G and it became gasoline. The gasoline name flourished and ended up being imported to America, where it was shortened to gas. It should be noted that the term gas is used in England, but it refers to the gas used for heating or cooking. I mean, Americans do this too, which can be confusing. You can usually infer from the context of the conversation which gas is being talked about. Did you get gas while you were out? Well, that's gasoline. Did you pay the gas bill? Well, that's natural gas. What's that smell? Oh, well, that's also called gas in the U.S. I could keep going on like this all day, but I won't. Anyway, it's been a gas. Cheers and happy Christmas.
Yeah, I have one problem with that segment, actually, and that is that it was so damn good, it's going to make the rest of my podcast look like a pile of dog trolley. So thanks so much for that, Bob. Thanks for making me look like an amateur with very little research about roller skating in Venezuela. Fantastic work. A little aside, actually, he was talking earlier about using petrol to get rid of head lice. I've done that, yeah. What you do is you pour the petrol over your head, and then you set light to it, and all the head lice, completely gone. All your hair, completely gone. And two or three layers of skin gone as well, actually. But I do have some very attractive scarring where my hair should be. Yeah, thanks for that, Bob. It'll be back again later. But now, I'm doing this. Boys and girls, I've got a treat for you today. I have the fantastic, one of the fantastic hosts of Tinsel Tunes, Dwayne Bailey, and he's going to share with us the story about how he found out the truth about Santa Claus. Dwayne, tell us your story.
Right, so I think that was so traumatic that I forgot. No, I'm just
years
teasing.
Of therapy have brought it back, though, surely.
Yeah, years of therapy, lots of money. No, so I must have been about maybe 5 or 6. So I remember.
Oh, you were young.
It's quite young. My brother, who's 18 months younger than me, we both got a shared gift, which was a couple of little cars called demolition derby cars. And the idea was you put the little rod and you flung it out and the car would just shoot across the floor.
Yep, I know.
It would hit something and then all the doors and bonnet and stuff would fly off.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved that toy, and it only lasted about 48 hours because I had scooted across the floor and my younger brother was angry with me for some reason and he jumped on it and broke it. And I was quite upset. And then my mum turned to me and she said, "Don't worry, we'll get you another one." And then it's like, "What do you mean another one?" So I started putting together the fact that Santa didn't give me that gift, even though it was addressed by him, that my parents actually got it. But at that time, I started to think about that anyway, and that just sort of really made me realize that there's something else going on here that isn't right. And then I think the next couple of years after that, I just sort of drifted away from believing in Santa.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I remember at that point, it's like, what do you mean you're going to get me another one? Didn't Santa get this for me? And I didn't question it, but in my head I was questioning it, but I didn't do it verbally.
No, I think your parents could have swung that, because the thing is, when I was a kid, I used to think, well, Santa must buy the gifts, because I know that he's meant to make them all, but I always had the idea that, you know, he also had to buy certain ones, because I always wanted a big track. I don't know if you're familiar with big track, but I always wanted a big track, and I thought, well, they sell that in the shops, he's not going to make one of those, he'll just go and buy one.
It's just going to buy it, yeah.
Yeah, so that's really young, though, 5 or 6. You sure that's how young you were?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was, because shortly, I remember after that, I wouldn't have been the next year or the year after, I was able to go to the shops with Mum and choose my Christmas gift, because I knew the truth.
Well, it didn't come from Santa, did it? You chose what came from Santa?
Yeah, so a couple of years later, we went into what was Woolworths, which is a department store, not a supermarket at the time.
Uh-huh.
And I chose a big remote control truck. And at that point, it's like, yeah, Santa's not giving this to me. My mum and dad are paying for it, because we had to put it on payaway or lay-by.
Uh-huh.
And by that time, I well and truly knew there was, you know, the truth about Santa. So,
oh, wow.
But in saying that, it worked in my favour, because I was able to choose the toy that I wanted. And it worked out fine, except on Christmas morning, we were allowed to get up early. And we were allowed to open up one gift. And so my brother opened up his gift, which was a calculator that played games.
Yep.
And he could put it on mute, so it made no noise. I couldn't play with my truck. I opened up the truck and I couldn't play with it because it was so noisy with the little motors and stuff in it. And I had to stare at it for a few hours before Mum and Dad got up and I was allowed to play it.
Oh, before everyone got up. No. Sitting staring at it.
Yeah, just staring at it, picking it up, you know, do all that stuff. And I just wasn't allowed to play with it because it would wake Mum and Dad up. So.
Well, there we go. Thanks for coming on. I really appreciate that. You're going to tell everyone about your show?
So I'm the co-host of Tinsel Tunes. You can find us at tinseltunes.com.
Who's the other guy you got on there? The annoying one. What's his name?
Yeah, it's Scott. Yeah, he just sort of tagged along one time and I can't get rid of him. I gave up Tinsel Tunes last year. No, the year before, I think it was, to focus on my Christmas light display. And at the time, Scott was looking for something else podcast related that wasn't Jingle Jank. And him and Jay took over Tinsel Tunes for a year. And then I came back last year. And it's me and Scott now that have carried the torch for Tinsel Tunes.
And it's blinding. It's one of my favourite shows.
It's blinding. And we've changed our format. And I think it's better than ever. So really enjoying coming back and talking Christmas music with Scott and the listeners and our guests.
To be honest, it's pointless you telling everyone about your show, because I tell everyone about it nearly every episode anyway. but thanks for coming on. And thanks for sharing your story.
No worries. It was a pleasure.
Cheers, Dwayne.
Merry Christmas.
So, like I said at the start of the show, I was actually on the latest episode of Tinsel Tunes, where we talked about What's This, the song from The Nightmare Before Christmas. I had a blinding time with Scott and Dwayne, I really did. And I want to say one thing, I've been listening to Tinsel Tunes long before I started my podcast, and I've always enjoyed the show. For a little while, Dwayne wasn't presenting, like he said, it was just Scott and Jay, and then Dwayne came back again, and it was great to hear him when he came back. And I've never met him before. We'd shared a couple of emails because he did plug my show back in the very early days. And we spoke, well, less than a month ago, I guess now. And when he popped up on the screen, I guess he'd never seen me before. I'd seen him just pictures on Facebook and that. It was like chatting to an old mate. It was almost like we'd been talking every day anyway, and we just carried on chatting again. It was unbelievable just how well we got on. And obviously, as most of you know that listen to the show, I have Scott on every year, and I've been friends with Scott pretty much since my show started. But it was just a wonderful time spending time with these two people that I consider friends, that both of them I've never met in person. So I want to say a huge thank you to Dwayne and Scott. Thank you for having me on the show. I really do appreciate it. I had a wonderful time, and thank you for being on my show. Dwayne was on this episode. In the next couple of episodes, I'm going to be having them both on, and I'm looking forward to that, and I'm sure you are too. Now let's do this.
Jingle, jingle, jingle for segment.
I don't really know what this segment is, actually. It's pretty much just an email I received from Benji. He's put a lot of stuff in there, and I just want to share it all with you. He sent it a while ago, and I hadn't forgotten about it. I just had so much in the last couple of shows. So, yeah, I'm just going to read out the whole email. That way, you get to hear the whole email. You ready? Okay. Hey, Jack. I had a few random factoids to disseminate to you that are loosely strung together with Christmas. I'll let you decide how or if to use them. Do you know what? Right. I've just explained how I'm using them. I'm reading them. Pay attention. Number one. He has actually put a one, so that's, I am still reading it out. He didn't put the bit about, he has actually put number one. That was me saying, just listen to what I'm saying. I collect nativity displays. I have about 50 nativity displays. Do you know how many I've got? One. I bought it in Tesco's, 1 January. It was on special. I got it for like £2. Really nice one though. Where was I? Oh yeah. So, throughout the year, I like to check thrift stores, and in brackets, charity shops. I know what a thrift store is. I listen to Macklemore, alright? I know the song. Oh, and yard sales. And he's put in bracket car boot sales. Car boot sales and yard sales, they're not the same thing. Very different. Well, not very different. They're different. Right. Oh, four nativities. Right. I'm going to have to do that line again, aren't I? I collect nativity displays. I have about 50. So throughout the year, I like to check thrift stores and yard sales for nativities. Over the weekend, I found one that was the same style as the one my grandmother made for my parents in the 1970s. In my area, it was common for the ladies at church to get together for craft nights and make these multiple piece nativity displays out of ceramic using cast moulds that would get passed along to other church groups in the area. So I see them fairly often at shops and sales. I even have a few of the same style in different colours. Well, the one I found over the weekend was slightly different. Instead of making it out of ceramic, the creative church lady made hers out of... Do you know what? I was going to think of something funny to say there. I was going to go off on a tangent about how it was made out of, I don't know, cheese. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to belittle this story. I like this story. I'm going to continue. I'm going to go back a little bit, then we're going to carry on. Well, the one I found over the weekend was slightly different. Instead of making it out of ceramic, the creative church lady made hers out of cheese. And I put it on the side, and a family of mice came and ate the cheese. What was interesting is one of the mice looked just like Joseph, one looked like Mary, and one looked like the baby Jesus. No, he didn't put that, actually. I did make that up. I'm beginning to regret it. Let's go back. The creative lady made hers out of wax and inserted wicks into each of the figures, except the baby Jesus. Good work with that, madam. The set that I found only had 6 pieces left: Mary, Joseph, baby Jesus, and the 3 wise men. So at some point over the years, someone must have burnt the shepherds, animals, and angels that all of these sets would have come with. The idea of someone burning part of the nativity set was just so odd to me, and I had to share it, even if it is a candle. This is the second story. For my church choir Christmas program, I was asked to do a short solo as the part of Melchior, the wise man. I am familiar with the 3 wise men. It's me, Scott Newman, Dwayne Bailey, and Melchior. Oh, that's the 4 wise men. Okay. Oh, it's just Dwayne Bailey, Scott, and Melchior. No, it's not. It's Caspar, Balthazar, and Melchior. I know that because the next line says, the song is called Melchior, Caspar, Balthazar. I want to be able to share this unique Christmas song with others and with your podcast, but I can't seem to find a version of it anywhere. There you go. That's not the end of that bit, actually. It does. But imagine if that was the end of it. It's like, I want to share a song with you. I don't have it. I can't share it with you. That's like me going up to my mates and going, do you want a sweet? Anyone fancy? Shall I share these sweets with you? Yeah, I ain't got any. That's not what happened. Because I just, why am I ruining this blimmin' email? It's good work. Sorry, Benji. I can't seem to find a version of it anywhere on the internet. I have the sheet music, which has been photocopied multiple times since its original printing in 1969, and the tune in my head from our 1 hour of choir practice a week. I would love to know if any of the other 3 listeners have heard of this song or know of a recording. That's Melchior, Caspar, Balthazar by Gilbert Martin, published in 1969 by Heritage Music Press. Now called Lorenz. That's an interesting one. Benji, you've got the sheet music. Just go and give it to someone that can play the piano and you sing along. Job's a good'un. Obviously, you've got to record it and then you can send it to me. I can play it for all my listeners and we all win. Right, number 3. My last fun/related side note. My great-great-grandparents immigrated to America from the Piedmont region of Italy in the 1860s. That's interesting. Coming from my Scandinavian American correspondent, turns out he's got a bit of Italian in there as well. Their family coat of arms has a sunburst/sun motif, and legend has it that this family is a direct descendant of one of the 3 wise men. No way to prove that, of course, but it has always been a fun thing for me to talk about at Christmas parties. That's interesting because it doesn't actually state in the Bible how many wise men there were. We just assume there were 3 because they bought 3 gifts. Do you know what? I was going to do a segment on this and I was trying to find out because there's a few stories about how many wise men there were. And there's one that's like, says there's about a dozen of them. And I couldn't find much information about it. That's all I found was one story says there's about a dozen. And that was it. I couldn't find the actual details. So the Melchior, Caspar and Balthazar bit was actually added later. Anyway, thank you so much for sending that stuff in, Benji. Now let's go on and do you know what's annoying? He also sent me some other stuff that I want to talk about. I've got to wait another 2 weeks for that. Yeah, sorry, Benji. I'll get to it. Now it's time for this. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. This is the quiz. Right, no messing about. I'm going to do this quiz whether you like it or not. 10 questions, 10 answers. Get out of my sight. Here we go. Question number 1. What is the title of the festive album released by Kylie Minogue in 2015, which reached number 12 in the charts? Okay, Kylie Minogue had a Christmas album. What was it called? Question number 2. Who wrote the 1850 short story, A Christmas Tree? Okay. I'm rattling through these, aren't I? Question number 3. Which US comedy drama TV series starring Bruce Willis and Sybil Shepherd had a 1985 episode called "'Twas the Episode Before Christmas"? Another easy one. And this one's also pretty easy. Well, I say that because I know it. Action figures from which US animated TV series were 1990s best-selling Christmas toys, with sales largely attributed to the success of the feature film adaptation from that year? Question number something. What Christmas cake is called Bûche de Noël in France? Did you like my French accent there? Do you want to hear it again? Bûche de Noël. Thank you. Question, I don't know. In what film did Bing Crosby play Bob Wallace? They played table tennis and Bing thrashed him easily. What film was that where Bing Crosby played table tennis with Bob Wallace? Oh no, actually, I think that's wrong. I think he played the character Bob Wallace and not at table tennis. Next one. In 1948, Spike Jonze and his City Slickers released the song All I Want for Christmas Is My What? What did he want for Christmas? He only wanted one thing. What was that one thing? Do you know what? I'll give you a clue. It wasn't actually just one thing. It was two things. Right. Question number, I don't know. Which 2001 film starred Whoopi Goldberg and Nigel Hawthorne, who played Nick as Santa Claus in his last ever Christmas? Yes, it's like Santa's given up being... I think the deal was Santa's given up. And so Whoopi Goldberg's going to take over as the new Santa Claus. Anyway, next one. As related in the Gospel according to St. Luke, what was the name of the angel who appeared to Mary to inform her that she would give birth to a child? What was his name or her name? And the final one, which carol's Latin version is called Adeste Fideles? I definitely pronounced that perfectly. Do you want me to spell it to you? A-D-E-S-T-E, I'm saying Adeste, and Fideles, F-I-D-E-L-E-S. What's that? What song is that? Tell me, and you will gain a point. Right, you ready for the answers? That was quick, wasn't it? Very professional, I thought. It was kind of like the lightning round you get in these quiz shows. Right, here we go. Question number one. What is the title of the festive album released by Kylie Minogue in 2015, which reached number 12 in the charts? And the answer is, who cares? Really? Do you mean they got to number 12? Actually, I think that was the one. She did a duet with James Corden on that one, I'm pretty sure. And it was actually really nice. They did Only You. Do you want to sing a bit? It goes, all I needed was the love you gave. All I needed for another day. And all I ever knew. Only you. Yeah, there you go. What do you think of that singing? Good, wasn't it? Yeah, no, the actual name was, do you know what I put, right? I thought it was Christmas with Kylie, but it wasn't. It was just called Kylie Christmas. But that's not even her name. Her name's Kylie Minogue. So she got that wrong, didn't she? And so did I. Right, question number two. Who wrote the 1850 short story A Christmas Tree? That was, of course, Charles Dickens. Yeah, I knew that. He wrote a few different Christmas stories. That one's not much of a story, though, really. It's just him talking about a tree. Yeah. Which US comedy... This is number three. Which US comedy drama TV series starring Bruce Willis and Cybill Shepherd... That should be all you need, isn't it? Had a 1985 episode called 'Twas the Episode Before Christmas. And that was Moonlighting. Yeah, do you know what? I only got into Moonlighting sort of right near the end. I didn't realise how good it was. And I remember watching a couple of episodes thinking, this is brilliant. And then this series ended and they never repeated it. So yeah, sad, isn't it? Right, action figures from which US animated TV series were 1990s best-selling Christmas toys with sales largely attributed to the success of the feature film adaptation from that year? That was... Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yeah, interesting fact. In the UK, because ninjas was so like violent, they were called Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles. Yeah, and they must have re-recorded the theme tune for the cartoon. Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles. Yeah, so you learned something there, kids. Question, I don't know what number. What Christmas cake is called Bûche... Oh, sorry, I've got to say it in a French accent. Bûche de Noël... In France. What is that? Well, I'll tell you. You should know that if you listen to my show, which most of you don't. Actually, if you listen to this, then you do. It is a Yule log. Yeah. Okay. In what film did Bing Crosby play Bob Wallace at table tennis? That was White Christmas. Yeah. Next one. In 1948, Spike Jonze and his City Slickers released the song All I Want for Christmas Is My What? The answer is... All I want for Christmas is my cat to stop pooing in my living room because it's driving me and my wife insane. He does it nearly every night. It's infuriating. Oh, sorry, that's wrong. All I want for Christmas is my tooth front teeth. You know that song? I do. Because I got that one right. Right, oh, up to number nine now. No, we're not. Number 8. Which 2001 film starred Whoopi Goldberg and Nigel Hawthorne, who played Nick as Santa Claus in his last ever Christmas? That was Call Me Claus. Now, I don't think I've ever seen that one, but I tell you what, I am familiar with it, and I was racking my brains, and I got it. I remembered it. Proud of that. Number 9. As related in the Gospel according to St. Luke, what was the name of the angel who appeared to Mary to inform her that she would give birth to a child? Easy one, that one. His name was... Are you waiting for me to say something funny? I'm not. His name is Gabriel. And the last question. Which carol's Latin version is called Adeste Fideles? And that is... O Come All Ye Faithful. Yeah, that Fideles. Fideles means faithful, doesn't it? And Adeste must mean come here. So, yeah, I got 9 out of that. Do you know which one I got wrong? That blooming Kylie Minogue one. If she'd called her album Christmas with Kylie, we wouldn't have this problem. But instead, she called it Kylie Christmas. I hope you did very well. I hope you enjoyed that. Now we're going to move on and do this. So, boys and girls, in the last episode, I talked about these lovely books from Biblioasis. They're 3 short, spooky stories, ideal for reading at Christmas time, and they're illustrated by Seth. I told you all about them, and I said, if you want them, all you've got to do is email me or send me a message through Facebook or do something else and say, yeah, I'll have them. Well, only 2 people bothered to respond. 2 out of 3 listeners. One of you's let me down. I've got my beautiful assistant here. I've written down both names and I've put the names in a hat. And
it's not a hat, it's a bowl.
Yeah, okay. Well, this is sort of a figure of speech, Robin, but thanks for your help. I've put the names in a bowl. Happy now? And Robin is going to reach in. She's going to take one out. She's going to read it out. This is very exciting stuff. Are you ready, Robin?
Yeah.
Okay. Hang on, let me give him a shake around. Which one are you going for?
Okay. I'm going for this one.
Okay, you've got to say, and the winner is.
And the winner is.
You can read that. What's the last name? Read it. Just read it.
Gibson. Yeah. Katie Gibson.
Well, congratulations, Katie Gibson. She lives in Australia. Do you know where Australia is?
Around the other side of the world.
That's correct. That's exactly where it is, yeah. Congratulations, Katie. Commiserations to Tony Dixon. However, like I said in the last episode, I do have some more books that Biblioasis have sent me in this series of spooky ghost stories. I'll be giving those away again, probably in the next episode. So pay attention to that, Katie and Tony. And if you say, yeah, I'll have them, then you might have them. You going to say anything, Robin?
If you say you do want them, I hope you get them.
Well, that's nice. Yeah, well done. Anything else? Gonna plug your podcast?
Oh, remember to listen to I'm Not Complaining with Robin and Juno's podcast. That's me and my sister's podcast.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to all.
And to all a good night. Well yeah. Done, baby.
Oh, well, I wish it could be Christmas every day.
Bob is back, boys and girls, and I have a gift for you, Bob. Here it is. Don't open it until Christmas Day.
Why, thanks. Jack? Self-appointed best friend of the podcast, Chris Kavanaugh, or Cav to his real best friends, has given us the easiest, most mobile way to give yourself a dose of Christmas every day, just when you need it. He will visit MyMerryChristmas.com on his phone or computer several times a week. He can do it at any time and anywhere, while waiting in line, at a doctor's appointment, or even while pretending to work. He says there are different forums about Christmas to read, you can listen to the Christmas song of the day, and people are always posting Christmas pictures. How festive! Plus, they also talk about other holidays like Halloween, but who cares? If you have a cyber idea that you'd like to blog about, you toss a net over to Jack. He'll shoot a web to me, and we'll post it for you all next episode.
Thanks to Cav for sending that one in, and also, of course, thanks to Bob for reading that one out. Here's the thing, right? A while ago, I was doing some research about interesting traditions around the world, and I was going to start talking about La Pastorela, which means the shepherds, and it's a play that they do in Mexico every Christmas, and it's like a real big thing, and loads of villages and towns will have their own It's kind of like the version of the Nativity, but it's just about the shepherds. I was going to talk about that, and then something came up, and I didn't, because I had other stuff in that episode. And I couldn't find it again, because I hadn't written down any notes. I'd just been reading about it, and I couldn't remember what it was called. Anyway, in the latest episode, or the second to latest episode, because they've just had a really short, quick one come out, Bob and his co-host Mark on Festive Foreign Film Fans were talking about a film called La Pastorella. Yeah. And it's about this nativity play. It's a Mexican film, and it sounds like it's really good. I haven't seen it, but they have, and they talk about it in the latest episode. And also, Bob goes into a bit more detail about La Pastorella nativity plays. So, like I say every week, if you haven't checked out Festive Foreign Film Fans, go and check it out. They've got two latest episodes, because they have one on the 26th, and they also have one on the 1st of November, where they did a version of A Christmas Carol as part of the Christmas Podcast Day. And you know what? I knew nothing about that, so I didn't do one on the 1st of November. I'm sort of a bit out of the loop, really. I'm a bit of an outsider when it comes to all the other Christmas podcasts. I don't mean to be. It's just the way I am, I guess. Anyway, thanks again, Bob. Now it's time for this. Boys and girls, I am reading this from my Christmas joke toilet roll. As you know, I've been doing that all this year. Here's the thing. I reckon I've told this joke before. Definitely not from the toilet roll, because I cross them out as I go through, but I do think I might have told it before. So, if you've heard it before, you probably didn't laugh then, you're definitely not going to laugh now. Are you ready? Here it comes. What did Adam say on the day before Christmas? It's Christmas Eve! There we go. That was a joke, apparently.
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle? Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
So, this episode's version of A Christmas Carol was sent in by Benjamin Hall. I hadn't heard from Benjamin for a little while, I don't think. I don't know, maybe I had. Maybe I forgot about it. But he sent me in a version that I covered maybe 2 years ago called Carol's Christmas. It had Wallace Shawn in it, who was playing like the Scrooge-type character. Was he? Well, he was a git, but it was more about the guy called Carol. Yeah. Anyway, he sent me another one, and this one is called John Grinn's Christmas. Yeah. And I think it should say John Grinn's Christmas Carol. Here's the thing, if it's called John Grinn's Christmas, you think, oh, John Grinn? Oh, but I've never heard of him. It seems interesting that they put the guy's name in the title when this is the only thing his character's ever been in. Anyway, let's not go into that too much. This was released on December the 6th, 1986. That's nearly 40 years ago, kids. Yeah, it runs for about 50 minutes, so I guess it would have been like an hour special with advert breaks. And on IMDb, it has a rating of 8.9 out of 10. That's really high, until you look at the fact that it's only got 35 votes. So, yeah. The main character is John Grinn. He's our Scrooge. And he's played by Robert Guillem. Now, if you don't know who Robert Guillem is, I'm probably pronouncing that badly. He was Benson in the TV show from like the late 70s, early 80s. Now, I remember that being on. I never watched it. I remember it was on like when I get home from school. It wasn't like part of Kids TV. The Kids TV would start after Benson. Yeah, but I remember it being on. And that was like a spin-off from the TV show Soap. Yeah. Interesting fact for you, Guillem, the surname, that's his surname, that's Spanish, I think, for William, yeah, so Guillermo del Toro, that's William del Toro, that's what, yeah, it's not Christmas related, but, you know, it's something you might find interesting. So anyway, in my research, it said this was the first all African American cast, or at least all the main roles are played by African Americans. It's not relevant to the story, but it's an interesting fact. It starts off, he's in his office, and he's letting this lady come in. Her name's Mrs. Alcott, and she's, I think she's meant to be like one of the portly gentlemen, but she's a portly gentle lady, she's portly, and she wants some toys. So we establish that John Grinn makes toys, and he's not going to give her any, but the previous owner, it wasn't his partner, it's not like a Jacob Marley character, it was like the guy that owned the company that he inherited. It's not his dad either, but I will get to that. He, every year, would give toys. And John Grinn says, well, the only reason he gave you those toys was because he was trying to win votes to be the local city governor. So he's not going to give her any toys. And she's like, oh, okay, fine. And it's not fine, though, is it? And she leaves. Then, right, it cuts to Alfonso Ribeiro playing a character called Rocky. Alfonso Ribeiro, yeah, Carlton from The Fresh Prince. Interesting aside, Robert Goyem, our Scrooge, actually appeared in one episode of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. So there's that, I suppose. He's walking down the street. This is interesting because you don't often get this. Nearly every version of A Christmas Carol just follows Scrooge the whole time. Whereas with this one, it cuts to seeing young Rocky walking down the street with sandwich boards on for a gift shop. And he helps this blind lady cross the road. We don't see her again. She's not relevant. Well, say she's relevant because she's a human being. But, you know, that's not part of the story. And then we see him talking to this homeless man. I say he's homeless. I think we're meant to think he's homeless. He doesn't establish he's definitely homeless. And he's talking about how he's desperate to get a present for his mum. Rocky's saying that, not the homeless man. And so the homeless man's like, look, let's have a look in this dumpster. So they start rummaging around in the dumpster and they find like some old toys and they're like really chuffed with themselves. And then who should come out? But I've written down Scrooge, but his name's not Scrooge, is it? It's John Grin. Don't be surprised if I keep calling him Scrooge, kids. He catches them and he starts having a go at Rocky, and Rocky has a go back at him, and he's like, oh, I'm just kidding, can I have a job please? Which is how I got all my jobs. Yeah, by having an argument with someone and then saying, actually, while I'm here, can I have a job? John Grin obviously doesn't give him a job, and just as Rocky's leaving, he wishes John Grin a Merry Christmas, and John Grin says this.
Fa la 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 la.
And that is kind of his version of Bah Humbug. He doesn't say Bah Humbug at all, but he does say that a few times. Then it cuts back to the office, and we meet Bob Cratchit, although in this, he's just called Mr. Oliver, and he's like turning up the thermostat. He's played by a chap called Kevin Guillem. Yeah, Guillem, or Guillem. Yeah, William, Kevin Williams. That's actually Robert Guillem's son. He got his son in to play Bob Cratchit's character, which I thought was interesting. Yeah, I like the idea of the Cratchit character turn up the thermostat, because that's a little bit like Cratchit asking for a bit more coal for the fire. So I was impressed with that. It's an interaction between him and Scrooge, and Scrooge wants a report the following morning. I'll play the bit for you.
Oh, by the way, I'll have the exact figures for you on that ballerina doll after the holiday.
After the holidays? I was hoping that I'd have them in the morning.
Mr. Grin, it's Christmas Eve.
Oh, so now we're not only celebrating Christmas, but Christmas Eve. What's next? Christmas Eve Eve?
Okay.
Yeah, so obviously Cratchit's got to work the next day, or at least work very late. Then, after they've both left, we see the thermostat magically turns itself up. Ooh. John Grin's left now, and he's going down the street, and there's another portly gentleman, although it's not, it's another lady, not quite as portly, this one, and she's collecting money in the street. And Scrooge's like, nah, I ain't giving you any money. Not in so many words, their interaction's a bit longer than that. But I thought that was quite interesting. It's just almost like you've got two portly gentleman characters that they didn't really need. One, I think, would have been enough, but that's up to them. And there's no Nephew Fred-style character either, and we'll get to that later on as well. Also, sadly, there's no face in the door knocker, but the door does open on its own. And this is quite funny, because Scrooge, John Grin, starts talking to himself. Yeah, I'll play it.
How can this door be open? No, I locked it this morning.
So he goes to bed, and he hears this really loud carol singing, and then it fades, and then it comes back again, like really loud. So he goes and looks at the window, and there's these carol singers, and they disappear almost as soon as he looks at them. And he doesn't seem that amazed that they've just disappeared. You know, it's like, well, they've just vanished into thin air. These things happen, I guess. But then there's like all this blue flashing light. And look, to be honest, right, it is literally, there's just a blue flashing light going on. You don't see the light itself. You just see the flash of the blue. And it does look, because they're playing lightning sound effects, it does look like there's lightning going on. I was quite impressed with that. Then the Ghost of Christmas Past turns up. He's dressed like an undertaker. And he says this.
Each year, it seems, there are a few miserable, miserly, hard noses who feel that a smile or a hearty Merry Christmas would just kill them. You and I are going to take a little journey to the past, to the attic of your life, to see the things you've stored there, the things you may no longer remember, but which definitely shape the man whom we know today.
And then John Grin says, I'll have you thrown out. I'm thinking, it's your house. How are you going to have him thrown out? We're going to call your butler? We haven't seen that he's got a butler. I'm pretty sure he hasn't, because that would have been mentioned. So it's like, I'll have you thrown out by who? He's got bouncers on the door. Well, we saw his front door. He hasn't got any bouncers there, or security, as you might call them. I don't know why he says that. Anyway, they go into the past, and it's this lovely Christmas scene with his sister and his mum and dad, and then it pans down to this overloaded socket, and it starts sparking and flashing, and then we realise that the whole house burnt down and killed his mum, dad and sister. Yeah, didn't see that coming, did you, kids? No, so Scrooge is actually an orphan in this one, and the next scene is him actually at an orphanage. And when he's at the orphanage, it's like a bit of a montage of him working really hard, like he's scrubbing the floors, cleaning the windows, and you see other kids get adopted and he's not, and then he does get adopted. But then they say that he wasn't actually adopted, he was taken on as an apprentice. Well, he looks blooming young. Could you just take on a 10-year-old kid as an apprentice and not actually adopt him? Who's his legal guardian? I don't know. I'm not sure about the ins and outs of that bit. And then Scrooge talks about working really hard. So he is taken on by this apprentice guy. Well, I'll let him tell you in his own words. Here you go.
I decided to make myself indispensable to him. I fixed it so he couldn't make a move without me. He, in turn, delegated more authority to me. I was on a roll, making all the right moves.
So we established that's how he sort of started to make all his money. Then we see the scene with him being in love. And this is really interesting because you only see them all happy together. And he's saying how much he loves her and a kissing and that. And then Scrooge and the Ghost of Christmas Past walk off and Scrooge explains what happens. We don't see him getting dumped at all. So how's that going to pull on his heartstrings? All he's going to see is like, you know, this girl he was going out with. He's like, yeah, I remember that. I had a great time. Not him getting dumped by her and her going, oh, you've changed. We didn't see any of that. He talked about that she married someone else because she couldn't understand his plan. But that's all. Anyway, the last scene for the Ghost of Christmas Past, it looks like it's fairly recent, and you've got Scrooge there with Mr. Oliver, you know, Cratchit, and this union rep, and they're talking about, like, cost of living's gone up 15%, so they want a raise, but they'll accept 10%, and Scrooge is like, I'll give you 6%, and the rep's like, that's not fair, you're out of order, and Scrooge is like, okay, you're sacked. Yeah, have a listen.
Every time we talk contract, it's the same thing. You want to pay the workers less than we're worth. Now, I'm sick and tired of it.
Well, you'll neither be sick nor tired anymore. You're fired.
That's a direct violation of a specific agreement between the union and the firm.
He's right, Mr. Green. It'll have to go into arbitration.
Mm-hmm. No one talks to me that way. You're fired. Get out.
Yeah. And then just before the Ghost of Christmas Past leaves, he says this.
Mercifully, my time with you has come to an end. And I wonder if you've gotten anything out of this.
All I've gotten out of this is a tremendous headache.
And I don't think he has learned anything. I really don't. So, then Scrooge is back in bed, right? And he gets up to get like a glass of medicine or something. He takes his medicine bottle out. And then he holds up the glass and it's like all frothing over and bubbling over. And the frothing sound is making like a fa-la-la-la-la sound as it's frothing over. I didn't really care for that, but you know, it happened. Then there's like a knocking at the door, and minutes later, the ghost just walks through the door. So why bother knocking? Anyway, he did knock, that happened. So Scrooge goes and answers it, and it's the Ghost of Christmas Present. Yeah, who talks like this.
My man, my man, my man.
What do you want?
I just dropped by to whip a little Yuletide cheer on you and yours. I'm Christmas Present, can you dig it?
Yeah, and Scrooge mentions that he's like some kind of jazz musician or something, which, you know, he's dressed all in white with like a pink sweater tied over his shoulders. Yeah, and he talks the way we just discussed. Then they go to the orphanage, right? And he sees that they're a little short of toys. It's not great the way they've done this, because they're still handing out some quite big boxes to some of the kids. But then as you're watching, if you're paying close attention, you'll see some of the kids haven't got a toy at all, and they're just sat there looking a bit sad. So, yeah, I don't know if the toy distribution was its best there. He doesn't seem too bothered by that, actually. Then they go to Mr. Oliver's house. I keep calling him Mr. Oliver, because that's how they refer to him. They go to Bob Cratchit's house, and not much happens, really, but his wife mentions that he designed this ballerina doll. Well, have a listen to this.
It takes your design for the ballerina doll, gives you nothing for it, and makes you work Christmas Eve.
Sweetheart, that's my job.
Yeah, there we go. And the Ghost of Christmas Past is being a bit rude about Cratchit's house. I don't think his house looked that bad, to be honest. But, the Ghost of Christmas Present, he's not impressed. Here you go, this is what he says.
They own this house?
I don't know.
Really early in the morning.
Cat works for you, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
What is he, a trainee?
No. He's an accountant and one of the designers.
He's your accountant and a designer? Cat must be spending all his money on fast women, slow horses, and cheap wine.
And then we go and see Rocky, and he wants to get a gift for his mum, and he's in this gift shop, and he's saying, you know, I'll work for you. So he empties the bins, and she says, that's enough, you know, you can come back and do some more work next time. What gift would you like? And he chooses this gold-coloured vase, which, you know, some people might like. I'm not a huge fan, but he didn't buy it for me. He bought it for his mum, because he's a good son. He's not going to go spending his money on some bloke he's never met, has he, 40 years from then? Anyway, let's not talk about that. He's walking home, and there's a pretty badly filmed bit of these kids running past, and he slips and drops the vase on the floor. And that is pretty much the end of the scenes of the present. So now we've got the future. And the Ghost of Christmas Future is played by a chap called Jeffrey Holder. And here's the thing. He's really tall, but that's not the thing. Here's the thing. He played Baron Samedi, I probably said that wrong, in Live and Let Die, the James Bond film. Yeah. Didn't really see many other big roles for him, but he was really memorable from that. He says this.
I am the Ghost of Christmas Future. You are a bad man. You scoffed at love. You frown at laughter. You create shadows where there should be sunlight. You have no wife.
I have money.
You have no friends.
I have money.
No one will mourn your passing.
I have money!
You have no future.
And then, and this is really bad, this scene is just weird, like really weird. It's only one scene of the future, and we cut to this theatre, and there's like jazz music playing, and in the middle of the theatre, you've got Scrooge in bed. Stood at the head of the bed is a priest who's like reading him his last rites or something, I don't know. You've got a table at the side with like a bunch of guys just sat around playing cards. There's a couple of other guys that I don't know what they're meant to be doing there. There's like mourners dressed in black, but it's not like they met his friends or anything. And off to the side of that, you've got the homeless guy we saw earlier just laying on a coffin eating chicken bones. You've really got to watch it just for this one scene. And then afterwards you're like, what was that? That's what you'll be saying. I'm saying it now. What was that? I don't know. And I watched it. Really weird. That's the scene. That's what you've got. Scrooge and the Ghost of Christmas Future are sat in the audience, and then we find out that Rocky has gone bad, and he's like dressed like this gangster, and he talks in this really gruff. He talks like this.
What is she? Cut down in the prime of life. And Rocky always says, la 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 la. Sayonara, Ace.
Yeah, and he sort of comes in, says a bit about how, you know, you're dying now, are you? Okay, too bad. And he leaves. Then in comes Mrs. Alcott, that we met at the very start, the portly lady that wanted toys for the orphanage. She just gives him like a teddy bear, and then she leaves. And then in comes Mr. Oliver, and he's like, you know, how's he doing? And one of the guys in the black suits sat there, just starts counting down from 5 down to 1, and Scrooge like gasps his last breath, and then dies. And that's it. Just really very, very strange. Very strange. Seriously, watch it. I probably haven't described it well enough for you to understand what is going on. But then if you watched it, you'd be going, what is going on? So I'm not kidding. Anyway, then it's the next morning and there's no boy in the street. No, not at all. So how does he even know it's Christmas Day? He's not asking him what day is today. So we might not know. I guess he just figured it out. So then he gets dressed, goes downstairs. Then it cuts to him loading up this bus, and there's a couple of nuns stood there, and he's loading it up with boxes of toys. And I guess we can assume that that's going off to the orphanage. And then he goes around to Mr. Oliver's house, right? Which I thought was nice, because, you know, he's spending Christmas with his son. Yeah, thought that was good. And it's funny because, right, Oliver's wife answers the door and Scrooge comes in and she shouts out, "It's your boss, it's Mr. Grin." And Cratchit shouts back, or Oliver shouts, "My boss? What does he want?" or something. And I thought what would be funny is if he's like going, "My boss, oh, for goodness, I'm going to swear. Shall I swear? Yeah, I'm going to swear. Oh, for fuck's sake, what does that bastard want?" Well, John Grin is stood in the living room. I thought that would be funny. That didn't happen, sadly. You know, no swearing in this one. Swearing in my podcast, obviously. I'm not proud of that, kids, you know, but it does make it a little bit funnier. Maybe you're offended by that. I didn't want to offend anyone. I just wanted to make it humorous. And he says to Oliver, "I want you to go and see all the workers on Christmas Day." How many workers has he got? He's got to go and visit them all and give them some presents. And he also wants to give them all a rise of the 15% that they were asked. He wants him to reinstate the union rep. And he tells Mr. Oliver that he's going to be promoted to senior vice president. And also, he will get a co-creator fee for the design of the ballerina toy as well. So that's nice of him. He's done well there. Old Mr. Oliver has. Then he goes to see Rocky, and this is what's said.
"I'm looking for Rocky."
"Rocky? There's no one here called Rocky. Are you sure you have the right address?"
"I think so. He's a young fellow. Works for Johnson's gift shop."
"Oh, you mean Timothy."
"Timothy?"
"What's so funny, old dude?"
"Timothy, watch your mouth. And what's this Rocky business?"
"Well, that's just what the guys call me."
Yeah, we find out that his name's Timothy, after all. And he ain't that tiny. Not really Tiny Tim, but his name is Timothy. And he has a gift basket for the mum. And also, he gives, like this, it's already wrapped up, he gives this vase to Timothy, or Rocky, to give to his mum. And it's the same vase that we saw before. And then he mentions that he's going to start a job training program and he'd like Rocky to be part of it. So that's nice. And then the very end scene is church. And it's like this big gospel choir singing. You've got everyone there. Everyone that we've already met is there in the church. And what I thought was funny, right, at the very end, when I used to go to church, the vicar would always be stood at the door as you're leaving and he'd shake your hand as you're leaving, right? That's what he did. In this one, Scrooge is there. He gets up, he stood by the door, and as everyone's leaving, he's shaking their hands. I thought, what is that? He turned up late as it is. Yeah. Which is funny, right? Why did he get there late? I don't know where he'd been. Last time we saw him, he was at Rocky's. Rocky and his mum were already in the congregation. I don't know what he stopped off for. And then Mrs. Alcott, she's in the gospel choir and she sings us out. Actually, no, that happens before the handshaking bit, but who cares? So, as versions go, it was pretty poor, to be honest. There's a lot of bits I figured, well, I could have written this better than that. This is a bit naff. That's a bit naff. But at the same time, I didn't not enjoy it. I'm not saying you should rush out and watch it, but, you know, you could walk out slowly and watch it, couldn't you? It's about 50 minutes, and it's something, isn't it? Yeah, that's a version of A Christmas Carol. Now let's do this. Boys and girls, this episode's recommendation is Tinsel Tunes. Yep, I want to say thanks again to the boys for having me on. Thanks for Dwayne for sharing his story with us earlier. Yeah, that's this episode's recommendation. If you haven't listened yet, I'm on the latest episode. That's a little sweetener for you there, yeah, to enjoy it even more. I listened to it twice because I found it so much fun listening to me having a laugh with the boys. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, so, you know, if you've got nothing better to do, check out Tinsel Tunes. If you have got something better to do, I don't think you have, actually. I can't think of anything that could be better than listening to Tinsel Tunes. Yeah. And that is it for this episode. I want to say a big thank you again to Dwayne. Thanks, as ever, to Bob for being part of the show. Thanks to Cav for sending in his idea for Christmas Every Day. Thanks to Benji Pearson for his email. And also, thanks to Benjamin Hall for giving me that version of A Christmas Carol, which I wasn't aware of at all. So I'm glad you pointed me in the direction of that one. That's something a little bit different, and I enjoyed it. If you want to get in touch, you know what to do. Email me at totalchristmas@gmail.com or visit the website totalchristmaspodcast.com. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, you know I love ya. Merry Happy Christmas! Thank you.
believe in Santa Claus. Do you, Dad?
Why, yes. Matter of fact, I do.
How about you?
Me? Why, of course I do.